Mr. Mark's Classroom.
This is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership in childhood ministry.
Mr. Mark's goal is to resource you with tools, ideas, and a passion for leading kids to become lifelong followers of Jesus.
So let's get this episode rolling with the man that champions kids ministry today, Mr. Mark Jones.
Hey friends, I want to welcome you to join me again. My name is Mark Jones with Mr. Mark's Classroom, and today let's talk about Bible literacy for just a few minutes, because this is something that I've really wrapped my head around when I heard some of that research that Lifeway has out of Jana Magruder's book, Nothing Less, and about how little Bible teaching our children are getting. And I'm pretty worried about this, because we may be looking at the first generation of biblically illiterate kids. And we want to do our best. If we're going to get them less time, let's do our best in making sure that we are getting through with these Bible foundations as we're teaching. So I want to give you three things that will help with our Bible literacy in the classrooms. And this is really what I shared with my teachers in our last teachers meeting, because I wanted them to be able to press into the Bible literacy. It's not just about filling a hole or teaching a class because there's no one else. That's not it at all. We do have those moments. They seem rather emergency-like, but I feel like we've really got to be pressing into Bible literacy. What can we say is going to happen as these children are moving out of the children's ministry and into the student ministry with the youth? And so how can we know that we're hitting it on the head? So first of all, Bible literacy has got to start with you. It has to start with me, that we are in the Bible. I know it's super easy whenever you're going in to teach a class. You know the story. I mean, how many times have you taught it? It's the story about Ruth, or the story about Noah, or story about creation. It doesn't matter. We've heard it over and over. We've taught it. And it's almost as if we don't even need to read it. And that's kind of a problem, because we need to be working on the Bible literacy for ourselves. So I want to challenge you to, first of all, be in the Word. And so I have found for myself someone to be accountable to. Actually, he's about 20 years older than me, and I am so delighted to get to meet with him every Tuesday at 7 or 7:30, depending on our schedules. And we're able to spend that morning time together and talk about what is it that God was teaching us this week. As we shared in our quiet time, as we memorized a verse, we're investing in our own personal relationship with Christ. And so I brought my Bible. I just wanted to show you kind of what I do. And I don't know where and when you do yours, but I seem to have found better at night before I look at Facebook and go to bed and go to sleep. I know everybody kind of has a routine in the evening, and it seemed like whenever I would walk in, because I was hoping to do it in the morning, maybe when I get to the office of the church and just sit down and do it. But I think it's just this horrible habit. I just turn around to the computer and log in, and it's already off and going. Like, there are only 5 or 12 messages to return real quickly. It's never real quickly. And I know you probably operate in the very same thing, so be careful, protect that. If you want to do this in the morning when you get to your office, do it. Do whatever works for you, but be sure that you can stay by that. If it doesn't work, just choose some other time and try that. So it's worked pretty good at night for me. So we each just chose wherever we want to read, and currently I'm reading in 2 Timothy. I've gone through 1 Timothy and made notes. So here's basically what the notes look like. It's not much. Matter of fact, this is 2 days. Let's see if you can see that a little better because of the reflection. But I just got me a Moleskine. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but just a paperback journal. And you can use a spiral. My friend, he uses a loose leaf junior size page because he just wants to keep the pages in here and then add them to his notebook. Whatever it is that you do is not wrong. It's absolutely what works for you. But here's what I do. I write the date, and then I write the passage that I'm reading. And sometimes it's quite a few verses, and other times it's only a few, because there's some great truth to be thinking about, and I don't want to rush too fast. And I write, what is the title of this section, maybe? My Bible breaks it down into the titles. I am reading out of the Christian Standard Version. And then I also have on here, what's kind of the general, in one sentence, what is this about? It's really not hard. Just what is this about? One sentence. And then I write down a verse out of this passage that I really like. And I'll go ahead and write it, quote it exactly the way that it's on there. And then after that, I kind of write, what did this mean to me? Or what is the challenge here or the application? And it's only a sentence or two. And honestly, what you see about a little half page of this little journal only takes about 10 or 15 minutes. But I always feel so much more connected whenever I've done it. It helps me stay on track. And sometimes I know it feels like we're going off the rails with so much. So I want to challenge you to go ahead and nail that down. Now, you may have heard me say before that I am reading through the Bible, and I have through the last few years, and I am again this year. Actually, I'm finishing up Numbers right now already. And I would just say that has been a lot to me, but this, having the quiet time, having to actually think about something for a minute and what the application is, has been gold to me. But the other is gold to me too, because I'm hearing it off of the U version of the app. Uh-oh, how about that? All right. I'm hearing it off the U version of the app U version, and he reads it to me. He pronounces all the names correctly. And you know what? It's great to hear the narrative in passages like that. It's like you learn so much just hearing that. And honestly, it doesn't take him very long to do that each day. So that's the two ways that I'm investing in me. As well as attending worship, I try my best to at least hear the sermon and to be involved in that. So I'm not sure what it is that you do or how you're getting that worship time, but don't miss that. So the second thing is that we need to come to our class with the opportunity of Bible literacy. How are we going to do this? And so be sure that when you're ready to teach your lesson, that you are making notes. So when I teach mine, I always have I have my outline over there, but this last Sunday, I just outlined the Bible story all the way down, right out of the curriculum. I just outlined my story, and then I can keep my finger on it in the Bible, reference the Bible whenever it's time to do that, and tell the story in my own words and with expression. And I think that makes a big difference when I'm trying to draw the children in. I was teaching pre-K and kindergarten last Sunday, and I do every week teach kindergarten, but these were some guests that I was enjoying teaching in a class that I don't ever teach in, and teachers were actually sitting around the walls in chairs watching me, observing how I taught this class. And so it wasn't like the pressure was on, but I really did have to stay on my game because I didn't know these children. I didn't have a relationship with them like I do my own kids. And so I was constantly having to say, sit down, cross your legs. All right, crisscross. And I would have to say it over and over. And that was fine. They were following completely, but I kept on and I kept on with the story and really engaged them. Drop your voice a little bit. Pull them in. And when you're teaching elementary, be sure to say, all right, so what did he do? Everybody look in verse 17. Don't give them all the answers. Make them look in the word. Help them find that. And then as you're telling the story, then give them questions like, so what did the people say? Look at verse 12. And they'll look at verse 12. And they read from the Bible what the truth is, and they're able to stay engaged with you a lot more. So if you're working with elementary kids, kids who are reading, you need to let them read the Bible and do that in class and challenge them. I heard somebody say this week a really terrific idea, and that was when a child comes to Christ, or even when they're thinking about it, and you know that they're working on that, they actually have just copies of John, the book of John, and they give them a yellow crayon or a yellow highlighter marker, and they say, every time you see the name Jesus, we want you to highlight it. And so it gave them something to read for and be watching, almost like a word search inside the text. and highlight that and bring that back, and we'll talk again. And it bought them a little time, let the Holy Spirit reveal more to them as they're getting ready to make a huge decision for their life, or as they have made this decision and they're talking about it more. I thought that was a great idea. So teaching Bible literacy, let me just say, one of the ways that I challenged my teachers is to come up with a review question. Matter of fact, I said two review questions and let your class decide. This comes from some teachers that we've had who taught second grade for 40 years. Yes, 40 years taught second grade in our church, and they just recently retired. We've been so honored to have them on our team and to see the investment they've made. They've taught several generations in our church, and we're so pleased. And one of the things they left for us was this huge Bible chart. Actually, it's just chart paper, and you flip it, and they've written questions. And they wrote 88 questions second graders should know about the Bible. And they worked on them, they practiced them, they moved forward, and they were written so neatly, and they had been teaching those through all of these years, and they had added some, and that's why it was 88. And so we took that and typed it up. And I thought you might want a copy of it, because this is a precious piece of information. So it's on both sides. And I'll put this on the resource page. So just go to resource page and look for 88 questions. And this is what they use to teach their second graders. And so my challenge was to our teachers, here's some chart paper, gave everybody some, and said, you and your class come up with two questions that would talk about the story you learned that day, the Bible study you had, and let them. So if they're three-year-olds, they may be pronouncing the name Zephaniah, and the question might be, say Zephaniah, or the question following that might be, what did Zephaniah do for God? He was a prophet. And so we've got these questions, and we're moving forward. And so next week, instead of just looking at the teaching picture, the teacher can say, okay, let's look at our big Bible questions and go ahead and review. Keep reviewing, keep practicing all of that good information, so that way it's really becoming a part of who they are and they're ready to learn more. So I would challenge you to let that be a part of what's happening with the kids and the teachers in their classroom to promote Bible literacy. Finally, number three, and that is, how do we do this at home? Because if we could get more parents to be involved in this at home, I think we would be able to see the Bible literacy really go up. And so one of the ways that I want to suggest is that you email those people in your class, those children, email their parents and tell them what you did today, what it was about, and here are the two Bible questions we came up with. Have a great time talking to your kids about this. We'll see you next week. I mean, short. And I tell you what, some of my teachers have done so great. They have taken that, they're emailing their class, and it's wonderful. So how do they get the emails? I have them. I have them right there on the church database. So I looked up all of the parents' emails for each class, and then I sent an email to the entire class, including the teacher, and said, hey guys, we're having a Bible literacy campaign. We're hoping to really invest in our children that they'll remember the Bible. And so I've asked the teacher to email you each week and let you know in a short note what we learned in Sunday school. So that way you could practice these things with your child. Just ask them, what did you learn today? Tell me, can you say the name Zephaniah? What did Zephaniah do for God? All right, you're right, he was a prophet. And so you're practicing these things with your kids, and it's really supporting Bible literacy. I've heard back from parents saying, this is so great. We wanted to teach our kids. But the truth is, we were sending home those pages from our curriculum, and the truth is, they weren't getting home. It's like, just follow the take-home pages, and it'll lead you all the way to the children's department, because they're not getting home, or parents aren't even looking at it. But they appreciate a short email. And I think that's key, short. You don't want something long that you have to read, but more scannable. The two questions, thanks for letting me teach your kids. And I think that these teachers will have a greater connection with the parents as well. The truth is, as the kids get older, we often don't even see the parents. They just send them on up to the children's department, and we don't get to have that kind of interaction with the parents. And so this little email exercise does help a lot. And so I'll post those questions on the resource page. You be sure to check it out. I've got lots of other stuff there too that might be of help to you. And be sure to watch. We've got a brand new thing about to be released called Classroom Swag. And it is multiple pages, like 20 pages of ideas for preschool, for children, so a couple of articles. And there are incredible ideas. And when you have a subscription to it, you can make all the copies that you want for your church. That way, you can resource your teachers every month with incredible stuff. And I hope you'll check it out. We're going to be releasing it the 1st of May. And so it's coming soon. And you can see a sample on classroomswag.com. Or just click on Classroom Swag there in the sidebar of Mr. Mark's Classroom. And you can check it out. Well, we've got tons of VBS stuff all over the place trying to get it out the door because it won't be long. We'll be decorating for VBS, and it's dwindling, but you know what? We still have plenty if you need VBS stuff. Thanks for joining me today.
That's it for this episode of Mr. Mark's Classroom.
We invite you to leave your questions or comments on the show notes at MrMark'sClassroom.com.
Until next time, remember, your ministry to children is a gift with eternal value.
So go and make it count.